Gatchel. She's in the hospital, had a, I guess, a reaction to medication, and must remember her this morning. And, you know, Brother Josh brought up that Brother Youssef was released from prison. What a blessing. And
yes.
I believe it was all a result of prayer, the prayer of God's people. So it doesn't matter what we bring before Him. And, you know, the other thing is singing this song, ain't nobody going to take us out of this world before God's through with us.
That's right.
And I'm thankful about that. Are there any other spoken requests we need to make? Any unspoken, uplifted hand? It's good to have Brother Justin back, and I'm going to ask him to please lead us in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we truly appreciate the opportunity to come to your house once again, Lord, to worship you. Lord, we know that you have the ability to speak to us this morning, Lord, through your word.
Yes.
Maybe just touch Brother Ryan this morning, and just bring forth your word. Lord, for the sister with the reaction, Lord, we know that Satan's just attacking that, Lord. May you just calm that, Lord, and take care of it. Lord, we have faith in everything that you do for us, Lord, and like you said, that we should have in your word, Lord. So tonight we just pray that. Bless us in our worship, Lord, through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Let's sing one more song. We're going to try this song, Breathe, this morning. So. This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy presence living in me. This is my daily bread. This is my daily
Thank you.
Gracious Father, we are such a privileged people, Lord, to know that your very presence has come down in this hour. Believe you, Father, your pillar of fire is leading us to the millennium, and that we're still following, Father, thy precious word, thy shout, getting ready for the voice of the resurrection. Help us, and Father, as we know the ministry of Malachi 4 was to restore our hearts. May our hearts be restored, Father, when that day comes. That because we know that even though there's a change of the body by the renewing of the mind, and yet Brother Branham taught us that the mind actually is in the heart. He thinketh with our heart, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so, Father, it's not our brains, it's not our brain power, it's not how much we know, but it's, Father, it's who we know. And as Brother Branham said, when they told him, you sure don't know your Bible, he said, but I know the author real well. Father, help us to know you, the author and finisher of our faith. But we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. A couple weeks ago, we spoke on the image. We began speaking on the, well, actually about a month or 2 months ago. We began speaking on the image of the invisible. Brother Branham took for his text in Colossians, where it said Jesus Christ was the image of the invisible God. And you think about an image is something you can see, and yet he's talking about an image, something you can see of the invisible. And so we've been looking at this and just trying to get our focus on, it's not the hair, it's not the eyes, it's not the ears, the nose, it's not the beard, it's not the nail-scarred hands. It's something there that is a characteristic of the character. Because actually the word characteristic, the word character is made up of many, many characteristics. And so we're looking then at those characteristics that expressed the image or projected the image of the invisible, or the invisible God. Now, a couple weeks ago we spoke on the image of the invisible God, and we were looking at the heart and how that the entire focus of the ministry of Elijah, of Malachi 4, was to return the hearts of the children to the fathers. But, you know, what I see, it was in the 60s and 70s, we had a great move where people were, they saw this life of William Brown, they tried to emulate it. They saw the miracles and all those things, and they tried to step into it. Brother Vail preached many wonderful sermons on faith for 20 years. Preached faith. And then he began to see that that God himself is here. When he began to bring out those things in 70-73, brought up, you know, how the Father's come down, the Father of glory. People just didn't get it. They thought the Lamb was here. They didn't understand that there's a difference between the Father and Son. So he had to go into 20 years worth of just focusing on doctrine. And when he did, well, then so did the Colemans, and so did all the other guys here. We had two souls, we had 700, we had all these. Everybody went to doctrine. But the fact is, they left their first love. And that's right here. And the ministry of Malachi 4 is to return the hearts to the children. Not saying it was wrong to go to doctrine, but doctrine without faith is nothing. Doctrine here is nothing. It's not going to do you any good, but doctrine here. Look down here. That's what it's all about. That's what you saw in Jesus Christ, his very life. That's what you saw in William Brown, his very life. You see? So we're looking at the hearts and how the spirit of Elijah, which program said our Elijah is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's to return the hearts of the children to the fathers. Not their brains to the fathers, their hearts. Now, that doesn't do away with doctrine. No, sir, not at all. What it means is that the doctrine must reside in the heart and lived out from the heart. Amen. That is what the doctrine is supposed to produce in you. You see, it's supposed to produce Christ.
Yes.
Brother Branham said, Christ is the doctrine. And if he is the doctrine, if he is indeed the doctrine, then he is to be reproduced in the hearts of the believers. And that is what it means to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8. And that is what the message is all about. Brother Branham said, Christ is the mystery of God revealed, that Christ is the theme of the entire Bible, and he should be the theme of our very lives. From Christ's ministry, paragraph 66, he said, number 26 in our series on Christ's mystery that I revealed. This message, I thought, when we went 260 some sermons into the spoken word's original seed, I thought that was the end of all ends. And come to find out, as I'm reading along in Christ's mystery God revealed, it's just that we just look. The one was way before the other. Spoken word was back in 62, and Christ's mystery God revealed was later on. And Brother Branham's ministry just got better and better and better. And that reflection of the very life of God got better and better and better. You see? And so we see that reflection echoed out from his mouth here and says, and he is the principal theme of the entire Bible. And if you read the Bible and don't see Christ in every verse, a verse of it, go back and read it again. See? And if you can't see Christ in every verse of the Bible, then you read it again because you've missed something. The Bible is Christ. He is the Word. And when you read in the beginning, God created, there is Christ. See? And from that to the Amen, it's Revelation. Everything, every word testifying of Jesus Christ. That's why these added books, it's called the second book of Daniel, the book of Maccabees, and Agabus, and Purgatory, and stuff like that. See, it's not spoken of in the Scripture. See, it doesn't theme up with the rest of it. There's no place to place purgatory in it. There's no place to place intercession of saints and things like that. There's no place in there for that. There's no place for denomination. There's no place for creeds outside of the Bible. See? So when you see those things, they just don't come into the picture. So when we get sidetracked off on the other issues, it's not Christ. You understand? Might be good for your health. Might be good for your sleep or whatever. But it's not what it's all about. from paragraph 71, it says, He is the same. He was the prophets. He was in them. He was in the Psalms. He was in the history. And He is the things to come, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13:8, if you're writing it down. And He should be the principal. And if that's what He is, and we believe it, don't we? Then if He is that, then He should be the principal theme of our talking. Is He? He should be the principal theme of our thinking. Is He? Of our singing. Is He? Of our walks. He should be the principal theme of our very life. And if He's the principal theme of the Bible, and the Bible is in us, then He should be the principal theme of everything that we do, everything that we say, everything that we think. It should be Christ. Is that right? All right. Now listen, brothers and sisters, if you truly get what I'm telling you here, and you have absorbed that truly in your heart, then I might as well just sit down, because I don't need to preach. And I really love what I just read. Because He is our all in all. He is our life. He's our breath. And that's what Paul said in Acts chapter 17, verse 28. He said, For in Him we live, and we move, and we have our very being. For as much then, as certain also of your poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think of the Godhead like unto gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's devices. In other words, we look at the picture of the Hoffman's head of Christ, and although Brother Graham said that's the way He looked, yet it seems like we focus on that image instead of the image of mercy, the image of love, the image of grace, the image of peace, the image of being a God of all comfort, a God of all grace, the God of mercy. You see? And as we're going through this mini-series, what I'm trying to do is to get us to see that these are attributes, these are characteristics of a loving God, of a merciful God, of a God of all patience. And that, don't you think, perhaps that's what He wants us to reflect in our lives to one another? You know, not being the first one to pick up the stone, but and Jesus said, which of you has no sin?
Sure.
Cast the first stone. No, it's not about stoning people. It's about loving them in or loving them out. You see? That's why we've taken this mini-series on the image of the invisible, because the image of God is not a visible caricature. It's not like under gold or silver or stone or graven by art and man's devices. It is not a statue. It is not a physical likeness. It is not the beard and the body and the hair and the nail scars. Those were that was the body of the Son of God. But in Him was life. In Him resided God in His fullness. And God is love and God is comfort and God is the King of peace. And Jesus reflected as the Prince of Peace. And God is mercy, and God is grace, and God is compassion, and God is patient. Then the fruits of God life are the characteristics of God life, and they're to be reflected in all of us. Paul said in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith. And you know, why have we kind of put those things to the side? You know, I preached a message years ago, and when we're going through the parables of Christ, that's where our focus was. You know, our focus was on the doctrine. And it should be the doctrine, but it should be the doctrine here, not up here. And when we're looking at the parable, you know, when the woman had the 10 silver coins, And we showed how Brother Branham said that those that nine of those coins were the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long suffering. But she was missing the one coin. And that one coin, he said, was a fruit. Well, what's the other fruit that was missing? Brother Branham said the fruit is the teaching of the season. So we found that she was missing the doctrine. So she had all these things. And so we kind of made light of it. We kind of thought, well, this is fine that she has all this, but if you don't have the doctrine, you're out of it. And that's where our thoughts were at. But brother, sister, I'd rather have missing the one coin than missing nine of them. Try scrambling to find the nine, because you've got the one. You understand? And people walk around proud and arrogant, and, well, we've got the one, we've got the doctrine, and they don't have the other nine.
Right.
What are you, I mean, goodness, what are you going to do if one showed possibly that she had been in adultery? What about missing nine? You understand? Nine times over, she had nine coins removed from her headdress. Listen, the foolish virgin had oil at one time. She lost it. She lost it. Brother Brent said, you've got to crucify yourself daily. Paul said, I am crucified. Not I was 2,000 years ago, although that's true in a similitude. But I am, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I'm living, but it's not I that's living, but it's Christ is living in me. And the life I'm now living in this flesh, it's not me living, but it's Christ living in me. And I'm living by His faith, by His revelation. He looked back, when He was in Gethsemane, He looked back before the foundations of the world. He saw His role as a bleeding, dying lamb. And He stepped into His role. And He went to the cross for you and I. Now God wants you to die. Die to Don. Die to Adam. Die to Gordon. Die to Ron. Die to Wesley. Die to Joel. Why? So that Christ can live again in you. Hallelujah. You see, characteristics are what makes up character. And the only thing that we take with us is our character. Kind of got a kick out of Brother Don last week. We were talking over at the park. And he said, could you imagine a man hooking up a U-Haul trailer to a hearse to take his stuff with him? And just totally insane for somebody to do that. And yet, why do we pack it? Why do we just store up? Why don't you start storing up for over there?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. So we're looking at the theme of this message, which is to return our hearts, or to redeem your heart, to bring back the heart to the condition where God can deal with you as an obedient son. In Matthew 15, verse 10, and he called the multitude, and he said unto them, hear and understand. Not that which goeth into the mouth defileth a man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, this defileth a man. We just stop right there and end the service. Take that one home with you. Then came his disciples and said unto him, knowest thou that the Pharisees were offended after they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father hath not planted shall be rooted up. Let them alone, they be blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Then answered Peter, said unto him, declare unto us this parable. And Jesus said, are you yet without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatsoever entereth into the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the drought? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from where? The heart. And they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Let's also look at the same parable in Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 14. And when he had called the people and said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand, there is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him, but the thing which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. If any man hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asking him concerning the parable. And he saith unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into a man, it cannot defile him, because it entereth not into the heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meat. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that is what defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceeds evil thoughts, adultery, fornications, and murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, and evil eyes, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and they defile a man. So you're born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come forth in the world speaking lies. That's who you are by birth, the natural. But by birth, the spiritual. When you're born again, Brother Branham said that all seven of those virtues, in 2 Peter there, and unto faith, knowledge, virtue and virtue, temperance, and all these things, patience and all these. Brother Branham said, when you're born again, those things are in there by the new birth. So how do those things manifest? By watering it. By laying in the presence of that of the Son. Not just laying in the presence of doctrine, brothers and sisters, laying in the presence of His sweet Spirit. Laying in the presence of the Son, the nature, the character of Christ. Oh yeah. Watering that. See, Rebecca watered the very flower and took her back to meet Isaac. And we are to water the Holy Spirit that God has placed within her heart by the new birth. Therefore, there are five things that I would like to bring out from this parable that Jesus is telling us. Number one, Jesus tells us that the defilement comes from within, from the heart. And defilement, he says, is not a condition of being infected from without or affected by that which is without. But defilement is a condition of the heart expressing itself outwardly. That's why when you hear gossip, it's not the gossip that affects you. It's your hunger for that gossip that affects you. You see, you've got a condition to receive it. Instead of saying when a person brings a gossip and saying, look, I'd rather not hear about it. Whatsoever things are pure. Whatsoever things are lovely. Whatsoever things are good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. And the God of comfort shall come. Hallelujah. So defilement is a condition of the heart expressing itself outwardly. Therefore, if defilement does not come from that which was without, then there is nothing that can defile you unless that defilement is already in you to begin with. In other words, if you're a lustful person because you've got a wicked heart, then you want to feed on those things that are lustful. You see? So we ask the question, is a man a thief because he steals? Or does he steal because he's a thief? And in this parable, Jesus tells us our answer to that question. In this parable, he says it is clear that a man is a thief to begin with, and therefore he would steal. The stealing does not make him a thief, for he must think it first in his heart, and then once he thinks it, that thought becomes a seed and that is planted. And once the seed is planted, then any watering of that seed by that person will bring forth that seed into manifestation. Years ago, I preached a message concerning, it's called The Garden of Your Mind. And we found that every thought that we think of the seed, just like the thoughts that were in God to begin with, were seeds. Brother Bram said, sin is not drinking, sin is not smoking and chasing. Those are just attributes of unbelief. The man disbelieves and therefore manifests that disbelief by doing those things that are contrary to the Word of God. And we know that we are all born in sin to begin with. We're all born in sin, shaped in iniquity. We all come forth from the world speaking lies because that's what the Scripture tells us about us. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My thoughts are much higher than your thoughts. So then what do we need to do to have the thoughts of God? We need to have the mind of Christ. And how do we get that? By one Spirit, we're all baptized into one family. You see, because he said the natural man cannot understand the things of God, but the Spirit of God does. And so it takes a Spirit of God in you to be able to understand the things of God. Therefore, as the Scripture tells us, there is none that is righteous, no, not one. And all of our righteousness is as filthy rags. That's Isaiah 64:6. But we are all as unclean thing. All of our righteousness are as filthy rags. And we do all fade as a leaf. And our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. And there is none that calleth upon the name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. For thou hast hid thy face from us, and hast consumed us because of our iniquities. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father, and we are clay, and thou art the potter, and we are the work of thine hand. Hallelujah. Now Jesus links the heart of man with his lips or the tongue. He says, for out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And in Romans 3:10 we read, as it is written, there is none that is righteous, no, not even one. There is none that understand, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is the throat. What leads to the from the heart up to the mouth. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Wow. That's mankind. You've all been there, done that. Hopefully you have another person living in you. Another person you're nurturing. You're another person you're your focus is on that person. Like I said before, when you're getting ready to have a baby, you women, you know, your whole focus is on that little person there. Well, Paul said, until Christ be formed in you. See, God is forming sons to be conformed in the image of His firstborn Son. Our nurturing, our care, our love, our focus should be on that life that is coming out. So that that life would be the preeminent life in this vessel. Point number two. We find in Matthew 7 where Jesus said, a tree cannot bring forth good and evil fruit. And James tells us, God can a well bring forth bitter and sweet water. Why? And why do we have Christians that can praise God in one side of their mouth, and they can curse man or sons of God on the other side of their mouth? It's because they haven't died. They haven't died. They've got it up here, but they haven't died until there's nothing in here but Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In Matthew 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes off of thorns, or figs off of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. And we also find James telling us concerning sweet water and bitter water that any single fountain cannot bring forth both types of water. And yet Jesus took Peter and said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven, you are blessed. And then half a day later, get thee behind me, Satan. For you know not, you savor not the things of God. The same vessel. Why? Because one was his soul echoing forth from the Father, and the other was his body of his death. As Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of his death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ who giveth me the victory. Every morning you wake up, brother and sister, first thing that should be on your mind is, Father, help me to crucify myself today. That's the prayer of my lips. Father, help me to crucify Brian. Help me to get Brian just put aside. Father, would you show me what you want me to do today? Is there someone, Father, that you can allow me to the privilege to serve today? That I might be the servant, as Paul said, as Jesus said. He said, you know, you call me Lord and Master, and you say, well, for so I am, but he said, if I have been your Lord and Master, wash one another's feet, what ought me to be doing? You see? Jesus showed himself as the foot wash flunky, his brother Brown said, the lowest of the lowest of the low. What about you and I? Well, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. You shall know them by their fruits. You men gather grapes off of thorns and figs off of thistles. Every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. In James 3, verse 9, he says, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. Now, you say, well, you know, I'm really good when it comes to the church people. I talk nice about them, mostly. But those renegades out there, and you know, those people in the world. But listen, you didn't know by talking, Brother Billy Paul will tell you, you never knew by talking to William Brown who his enemies were. You just didn't know. And let me tell you something else. William Brown, prophet of God, servant of God, man who was so conformed to the image of the firstborn son that many people thought he was. You know what he said about himself? He said, you stick your finger in a bucket of water and the hole you pull out, that's how much God needs you. That's how much God needs you. And that's how much God needs me. Another thing he said? He said, the drunk that got saved an hour ago, God doesn't see any difference. He doesn't look at him any differently than he looks at me. I mean, after all those years of pouring out your soul to God and the drunk that got saved an hour ago, God sees him just as wonderful as he sees you. You know why? Because he sees him through the blood of his son Jesus. William Branham, the prophet of God, standing there, watching that man put his hands on the woman's heart, which she shouldn't, that police officer, and he thought, oh Lord, why don't you just destroy the whole thing? Isn't that the attitude of a lot of believers today? God come and just destroy this earth. My heart says, God, save those that are saved. Save them all if you would, Father, but I know that it's not in your plan to do so. But Father, save, get that last child in. Help us, Father, to build an ark. And when the people come in, they'll see Jesus Christ and Him alone. Help us to present your gospel in such a way that people will see Jesus Christ. And when they look at one another, they won't be looking for fault. They'll be seeing sons and daughters of God. Hallelujah. My brother, these things not ought to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries? Either a vine figs? So no fountain both yields salt water and fresh. What do Jesus and James mean then by these parables? They're saying that outside things are not that which defiles the man, but those things which come from the heart are the things that defile the man. Then he lists off a whole lot of things that show defilement from within. And he says, that which cometh out of a man, that's what defiles a man. For from within, out of the head of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and from the heart. And that is what defiles a man. In Matthew 12, verse 33, Jesus said, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Don't give off, brother, sister, to the people that are looking at you and they're seeing Jesus Christ one day and the devil incarnate another. No. Kill out the self. Paul said, who can deliver me from the body of this death? It is the body of this death, brother, sister. And as long as you're in this body of this death, you're going to struggle with that. That's why it takes a daily crucifixion. And we know that the anointed ones at the end time, Brother Brown said, the fruit is the teaching of the season that they teach. Therefore, you judge a tree of the man by what comes forth from his lips. Not only the teaching of the season, but what other fruits of the Spirit or fruits of the flesh. Because Paul in Galatians tells us the fruits of the Spirit, but he also tells us the fruits of the flesh. And when you read that about the fruits of the flesh, I don't want you to read the word flesh because then you think of somebody else. I want you to read that word as self, the fruits of self. Paul says in Romans 8, he said, there is no, therefore now no condemnation to them that walk in the Spirit and not after the flesh, not after self. And he says, and if you walk after self, you cannot please God. And you cannot be focused on God or the things of God if you're focused on yourself. O generation of vipers. Now notice, he's calling them serpent seed here. He says, you generation of poisonous serpents, how can you, being evil, speak good things? Well, Lord, bless you, my brother. And then you walk away and you don't let brother what he did. For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth good things. And the evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. Hallelujah. You know, Jesus told us that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And why is that? Because it's your words. The things that you say declares where your heart is. And what things you hold dear within your heart will come out of your mouth. So we're not looking really at flesh. What we're looking at is you. Self. What are you reflecting? Because what you're reflecting out of here is what you are in here. And Brother Branham said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. And he said, if your deeds are evil here, you know where you're going. So we're looking at what is in there, deep within the heart. For that is the real you. And if that has not been born again, you are in a whole lot of trouble because we are running out of time. The world is falling apart. The nations are at battle with one another. Politics is gone to shamefulness. Religion has gone to shamefulness. The economy has gone to just gone to pot. That's all it's gone. Now, number three, then your heart is what you are. It is your understanding, it is what you think, and thus it is what you express. It is what you understand, and thus a reflection of the condition of your soul. And out of the abundance or overflow of the heart, the mouth will speak, and the body will act those things out. Your body is just an expression of the control tower, of what's going on in here. The planes can't come down unless the control tower says, you've got room to come down. Your hands can't lift up and praise and worship God unless there's something in there calling it to praise and worship God. As Brother Brown said, that defies gravity. Amen? From explaining healing and Jairus, Brother Brown said, what you are here is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. Those who he called, he justified. Is that right? Those who he has justified, he glorified. Already in the presence of the Father, we have a glorified body. Wasn't that deep? All right? We'll find out whether it's right or not. If this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, he's reading Scripture, we have one already waiting. Is that right? That's right. So right now, what we are there is a reflection, or what we are here, rather, is a reflection of what you are somewhere else. So if your deeds are evil, you know where to come from, you know your other body is waiting. Oh my. Now, in the parable that Jesus is telling us, that the mouth is the means whereby we know what is in the heart. And if our mouth is not true to what is in our heart, then we're hypocrites, which is the worst kind of a sinner. From condemnation by representation, listen to the title of that sermon, condemnation by representation. How about condemnation by manifestation? When a person is preaching a doctrine, Brother Brown says, then you've got to stay with your own belief. But if you don't, then you're a hypocrite. And if you say something because someone else says it, and in your heart you don't believe that, then you're a hypocrite because you're saying something that you don't believe. I'd rather be criticized a little upon things that I do believe than to be a hypocrite in the sight of God trying to compromise with someone else. I believe that is the reason why I have had so much success around the world teaching the doctrine. It is because I truly believe what I teach is the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And I have not only the Scripture to prove what I teach is true, but I also have thus saith the Lord. So, look, we're looking at our vindicated prophet of God. He didn't just preach it here. It came out of his mouth, but it also came out of his life. How many times did he tell you? How many times did Brother Adam say, live it, sir. Don't preach it. Live it. Now, there's a lot of people who claim to believe this message, but their mouth declares them to be hypocrites. Because on the one hand, they say only what the prophet says. And when you do that, they'll criticize you for it. These are people who say one thing but believe another. And Jesus called them hypocrites. And that's what Brother Rand's telling us here. Now let's see some other things Brother Rand tells us about these kind of people. From Uncertain Sound, he says, as I was saying a few days ago, either here or somewhere speaking on a lie detector. Now notice, close now. I want you to pay close attention, put a lie detector on you, and you try to impersonate the truth and try to say that it's truth. But down on the inside of you, in your subconscious, lays a place called the soul. And this intellectual mind does not govern that vibration of the system. The mind is only a director. It will direct you, and it's very incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. Huh? What? He said your mind is very incapable of bringing you to God. So you can have the doctrine here, brother, sister, just down pat. And you know what? Satan knows the doctrine too. Mm-hmm. He believes there's one God. The Bible says, that's right. Satan believed. Brother Brent Paul don't believe. Stop here, brother, sister. And Brother Brent was talking about that. He said, the mind is only a director. It will direct you and very capable of bringing you. It is incapable of bringing you to God, your mind. You cannot know God by your mind. Intellectual is it's one of the resources or the channels that would lead to it. But your soul is what governs you. You are what you are by your soul. Jesus said to the Pharisees, he said, why, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things? When they was calling him good master and so forth, you know, oh, good master. You know, in the back of their mind, they're thinking, how can I trick this guy? How can I, you know, the whole purpose was deceit. He said, why, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things? When they was calling him good master and so forth, said, out of the abundance of the heart speaketh your lips. And in your heart you hate me, and in your lips you call me good. He said, you hypocrites. See, your soul is thinking one thing, and you're speaking with your lips another thing. What a case. What a horrible thing. What a deceitful thing is hypocrisy. For out of the mind they say one thing, when their soul says another thing. Now the lie detector will not work on your mind. It'll work on your soul. It'll work on your. It'll not work on your intellects. Now, there are some people can impersonate the truth. They impersonate, yes. Yet it being a lie, and can impersonate it until they deceive like anything. And Satan is the best that there is. For he has deceived Eve by that way, saying them same things. And the biggest lie that ever was told had a lot of truth in it. And if you ever watch these politicians, and I've been getting pretty good at it, you watch guys like Obama, and you can tell when they start to go off in a lie. Look at their facial features. I took courses when I was in negotiation, body language, and how to read a person, things like that. And there are studies and how to do that. And you watch the man. And he'll be telling 99% truth, and he's just, jolly and everything else, and then he kind of looks down and tells his lie. Can't look the people right in the eye when he tells his lie. You watch him when you do that. They give themselves away every time. Brother Ramsey, what a horrible thing, what a deceitful thing is a hypocrite. For out of the mind they say one thing, and the soul says another. Now, the lie detector will not work in your mind, it'll work in your soul, it'll not work in your intellect. But there are some people who can't impersonate the truth. They impersonate, yet it being a lie, and can't impersonate it till they deceive like anything. And Satan is the best that there is, for he has deceived Eve by that way, saying them the same things. And the biggest lie that ever was told is a lot of truth in it. Now this person, what if you could ever get your soul on the inside so in harmony with God that your soul and God would be one together, then you could ask what you will and it shall be given you. But what scripture is that? That's John 14, verse 13. You see, right after he says in verse 12, he said, whatsoever I do, you shall do also. Then he says, how are you going to do it? He says, whatsoever you ask. Because Jesus couldn't do anything. He said, I can't do nothing but what the Father showed me to do. You see? So you ask God. And Brother Ben said, well, you are so in harmony in here with God. Ask what you will. And it'll be given. Hallelujah. I love that. Many people come to me many times from the prayer line, stand there, and they say, oh, Brother Brown, I have plenty of faith. I've got faith like to move a mountain, and yet they haven't any faith. They hardly have enough faith to get to the platform. But they are conscious of one thing, that they do believe. They are believing intellectually with their mind, and their mind will never bring them to God. Your mind is reasonings, and God has no reasonings. And if you can reason it out, your mind will tell you, now looky here, the doctor says I can't get over that, that's impossible. Now the doctor with his intellect, with his intelligence, with his knowledge of medical science, he's told you the best of the travel of his mind, and you take your mind and using the same thing the doctor told you, well, God can never touch that line as long as you reason. But let's put down reasoning. God never made us to live by our intellect. We live by the Holy Spirit that's in our soul that says no to any reasonings that's contrary to God's Word. When God's Word says it so, there's nothing in the world can stand in His way. Then what you do, you're getting down on the right side of God. You're getting down till you can ask what you want, and it'll be given you because there's nothing between there. There's no reason. Let's cast away reasonings. They stand in your way. Get your mind out of the way, and don't say what you reason, what you see, what you think. Say what God says to be the truth, and that can only come from the inside of the heart, not from the intellects. Brother Bell learned years and years ago, when he was preaching on faith, there wasn't anybody who could preach like him, except for perhaps Brother Boswell. Brother Boswell had 225,000 letters come to his office, people showing the healing. Now, if that isn't greater works, I don't know what is. Although John did say that if you really took all the things that Jesus did, he said, if the ocean was ink, there wouldn't be enough ink to write all the things. So what we know from the scripture, Brother Bosworth did greater than. But let's just believe that Brother Branham had thousands and even tens of thousands and 30,000 people just in one meeting. We'll be lucky to have a half a dozen or a dozen in your lifetime. But that doesn't take away John 14:12 from me. You see? John the Baptist had a six-month ministry. 6 months. And Jesus said, there's never been a man like him. Never been a man like him. Can you give God 6 months of your life? Total, sold out. Can you? How about 6 days? How about let's go for 6 hours or 6 minutes? What I'm saying, brothers and sisters, is when you enter into that Shekinah, when you enter into that union, don't walk away from it. There's been so many times I come over here to pray, and I'm down on my knees half hour, having sweet communion, and then my mind goes to thinking about, I got to get this done and that done. I get up to go, and something within me says, stay a while. Just stay a while. So I get back down on my knees, and I stay a while. He wants to fellowship. He doesn't want you to run off on him when he's talking to you. When you're sharing with him, he's sharing with you. He's got a priority. Hallelujah. From impersonation of Christianity, Brother Rasmussen, and in this being the intellectual type of churches that we have today in America and all over the world, when we get to that type of school, then the Christian, the believer, the church member, reading the Bible, sees that they must try to act humble. He must try to be this way, but in doing so, he only makes a carnal impersonation. Let that soak deep. A carnal comparison. He's trying to act something that he really isn't in his heart. So what's Brother Rasmussen saying here? Get the heart right first. The rest will come. He says, let it soak in deep. A carnal comparison. He's trying to act something that he really isn't in his heart. In his heart, he's thinking one thing and trying to act another, which is really genuine language. It makes him a hypocrite. Jesus said, you hypocrites, how can you speak good things? For out of the abundance of your heart speaketh the mouth. If you don't speak according to what's in your heart, your heart thinks one thing, and you speak another, that makes you a hypocrite. The very word Pharisee means an actor. They acted out their religion, for they had a stony heart. They come and they said, good master, we would see a sign from thee to prove that you are what you said you are. Said, how do you call me good when there's none good but God? From a certain sound, Brother Rasmussen, there's where so many people today is going to be so terribly disappointed at the day of judgment. Now listen to these words. Because we're coming to a time very soon, I believe. And remember, judgment begins at the house of God. There's where so many people today is going to be so terribly disappointed at the day of judgment. To know that they've lived in church, to know that they have done good deeds, to know that they have treated their neighbor right, to know that they have... Listen, we got people in this message don't even treat their neighbor right. So this isn't even for them. They're already out of the picture. But to know that you've treated your neighbor right, to know that you've been loyal to the people, loyal to the church, and in their mind, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, not God the Son. So this comes right down to those who believe the doctrine. Have believed that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be condemned at the day of judgment. Jesus said, many are called, but few are chosen. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leads to life. But few there be that find it. Now, you people here this morning, I want you to set up and take notice of this. You're old enough now, you've heard enough gospel preaching to you, you ought to be able to get off the milk and come to the real solid gospel diet. Come to the place where men and women ought to be men, ought to stand. And Paul said, when you ought to be teachers, why you have to be taught, or to be taught yet. Now, in the soul where the man lies, you are what you are in your soul, not in your mind, not in your reasoning. Not because you said, I will have a better standing, I can associate with better company, I'll become a better Christian. That's reasoning, you see. You mustn't do that. Don't do that. Let it become from a new experience, a new birth, something that's happened, not in the mind, but in the soul, that's taken all reasonings away, and you become a new creature, and you are in Christ. And listen, you can't be in Christ unless Christ is in you. Now, God, Jesus said, I pray in that day that they'll be in me, and I'll be in them. You see? Now, God making his promise, Brother Graham says, now, if you're trying just to impersonate, then you're just making a hypocrite out of yourself, you see? Because you can do that. Christianity is something that has to come from your heart. Jesus, speaking to the Pharisees, said, you're hypocrites. How can you say good things when out of the abundance of the heart speaketh the mouth? Then if the heart thought one thing and the mouth spoke something else, it becomes hypocrisy, see? We must, from our heart, express exactly how we feel. We must express it from our heart, and if we can't express the right practices, the right thing, then keep still, don't say nothing about it. And now if the church ever gets to practicing that, they might have fewer members for a while, but they'll have better members while they're having it. God grant that day when every man or woman will be and express just what they are. Yeah. From exhortation and healing. We learn this, friends, that God knows what your heart is, see? And if you don't speak from your heart, then you're a hypocrite. Is that right? And I really mean it. and from word became flesh in the media trip. Jesus said the Pharisees, you hypocrites. That's what makes them a hypocrite. They thought one thing in their head, and they expressed their lips with something else. A hypocrite is that. That's what makes a hypocrite. It said, how can you, being hypocrites, for out of the abundance of the heart speak of the mouth? You don't speak what you really think. And see what I mean? You must say what you think. If you don't think it, don't say it. See, speak your words. Let them become from the bottom of your heart, like Jesus said of the tree. No man eateth from thee. Why, there wasn't a shadow of a doubt in his whole heart what that tree would wither away. Why? His heart was coming from pure. It was the Spirit of God in him. That was making him that way, teaching those disciples a lesson. See what I mean? All right. Then let that be pure. Let your thoughts run pure and your expressions pure. Live pure and be pure. Now, out of your heart proceedeth evil thinking, adultery, and all these different things. If that comes out of your heart, that's what's in your heart. But if out of your heart comes righteousness and peace and love and joy, oh my, then it's coming from a resource here that's made up of that. See what I mean? It's made up of the Spirit of God here that's expressed itself through the words, and what you say then will come to pass. Hallelujah. You see, the heart that we are born with, it's no good. It's no good to begin with. Notice, all you have to know that the heart is no good is watch a little baby. You say, oh, they're so cute, they're so innocent. But that little baby one time pooped his pants, and he raises all kinds of ruckus until you come and take your time to fix his problem. And that baby gets a little bit hungry, and it's all about him, and you've got to fix his problem. And the baby gets a little thirsty, and you've got to fix his problem. And a baby is the most selfish person there is. That's right. He's born that way. The problem is that even when we're born again, we're still children. And we won't become an heir until we graduate from being a child. We have to allow the spirit of adoption to get us so focused on our role in the family. So focused on what we can do for the family. And you notice, I see some of the young people in here, some of the young girls in here, and I see how their mothers get them into the kitchen. They're training them how to be a mother. They're training them how to take care of a home, and how to take care of a kitchen, how to take care of a home, clean a home, do these things. And they're learning the role of the family. And now, when another little one comes along, they're now playing mother. And they're changing the baby, they're feeding the baby, they're watering the baby, they're doing all those kind of things. You see, because now they're learning. They're somewhere between the new birth and the body change. And brother, sister, every one of us is somewhere between here and there. And by the way you treat one another shows if you're here, a little child, or if you're here, a son of God, a joint heir with Christ. Hallelujah. And somewhere along the way, we're all going to get there by the grace of God. By the grace of God. Only by the grace of God. But you've got to crucify this flesh and the lust thereof. You see? And so we, as Brother Branham said, the heart we're born with, it's evil continuously. That's what the scripture says. So God must give us a new heart. For the heart we're born with is corrupt to begin with. Then he gives us another spirit, not the Holy Spirit at that point, but he gives us another spirit, which is a welcoming spirit. Have you ever been amongst a bunch of Christian people? Good people, godly people, they live a good, righteous life. But you know, there's something about them, you just don't like to get around them because they're going to talk about so-and-so or this person or this person. There's not a welcoming spirit. You feel like you walk into this group of people and you feel like, I'm not wanted here. I'm not welcome here. They don't have even a welcoming spirit. How much less they have the Holy Spirit. Now listen, by your fruits, you can tell a dog knows if you love that dog. Oh, we're not dogs, brother, sister. We're sons and daughters of God. We've got discernment. We've got a mind to discern, if you just allow that mind to discern. In fact, what we read 2 weeks ago when we were talking about the heart, we showed that new scientific study that says that if you're within five feet of another person, their heart and your heart are speaking. And you're communicating from heart to heart without even saying a word. And they said that, you know, you look at a husband and wife, they don't even have to say words and they know what's going on. There's a communication that goes from heart to heart. And God's heart, Jesus Christ was the heart of God. The Holy Ghost is God's very life, his very heart, his soul, and God wants to talk to you. And look, the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of what? The mind? No. Of the heart. We've got to graduate beyond just thinking. It's all, what can I figure out? What can I get up here? What can I know that other people don't know? What can place me at the head of the classroom? It's not a classroom, brother, sister. It's a life experience. Hallelujah. And so in Ezekiel 11, 19 to 21, and I will give them one heart. Not, you have a heart, and you got a heart, and you got one heart. Whose heart is that, I suppose? Huh? And I will give them one heart, and will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give them an heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, and keep my ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. But for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own head, saith the Lord God. In other words, what you sow, you shall reap. Ezekiel 36, in verse 26-28. A new heart also will I give them, a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and will give you a heart of flesh, and will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall be my, and keep my judgments, and do them, and ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers, and you shall be my people. And you know what? And I will be your God. Hallelujah. From the inner veil, Brother Branham said, now, there is an intellectual faith, and there's faith that comes from the heart. The old unbeliever used to say, when the Bible said, as a man thinketh in his heart, said, that's crazy. There's no mental faculties in the heart. Said, you think with your mind. There's no mental faculties in the heart. But last year, they found out that that was wrong. God was right. Down in the heart, in the center of the heart, there's a little compartment there that's not even a blood cell in it. It's not in the animal heart, only in the human heart. And the same, it's the occupation or the occupant of the soul. The soul lives in the heart. Then after all, God was right when he said, as a man thinketh in his heart. And I'd like to add, so is he. And so this brings us to the last part of this question about our hearts. And the heart now, this is very important that you understand about the heart. As I just read about that wonderful quote, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And of course, if the soul resides in the heart, then what if a man's heart is removed from him? You think about that. You got that happening every day. Yeah, it's not even. I'll get off. From here, you hear Brother Ramsey, man ain't measured by muscles. That's beast. Man's measured by character. I've seen men that weighed 200 pounds and all muscle and didn't have an ounce of man in them. Throw a baby out of a mother's arms and ravish her. That ain't a man, that's a beast. That's brute. Man is character. There never was a man like Jesus Christ. But the Bible said that there was no beauty that we should desire him. Probably a little bitty fellow stooped in the shoulder of something or something. We all hid as it was our faces from him. But see, but there never was a character like that. That's what real man is. And you don't measure a man's muscles by the bag. You don't measure a man by his muscles, but you measure a man's character by the bags on the knees of his pants where he's been praying. And that's where you measure a man, by character. And that's true. For what does it take to make a Christian life, Brother Ramsey? Now, I want you to listen for a few moments before closing. I want you to notice one thing and watch closely now. Watch the order of the Scripture. I will take away the stony heart and give you a new heart. Now, the heart is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. And I'll give you a new spirit. And I want you to watch the order. Now, how many people get that mixed up? They think that they got the Holy Ghost, but they just got a new spirit. Now, watch. From what it takes to make a Christian, Brother Ram continues. He said, I'll give you a new heart and a new spirit. And then I will put my spirit in you. Now, the new spirit God gives you, God had to give you a new spirit. But that's a new spirit that God gave you. And so you could get along with the Holy Ghost. So you got to get a spirit to get along with the Holy Ghost before God will give you the Holy Ghost. How many people in this message don't even have a spirit to get along with the Holy Ghost? Huh? They have worked themselves like the Muslims. Now listen, don't tell me that it's any different. The Muslims are very religious. They can perform all the rituals. They get down on their knees 3 times a day. They face their Mecca. You know, they're very ritualistic. They can do all these things. And in them is a heart full of deceit, a heart full of hatred, a heart as Brother Bell said, they think they're doing God a favor by lopping off your head. Now, the new spirit God gives you, this new spirit, that's a new spirit God gives you, so you could get along with the Holy Ghost. With that old spirit that you had, you couldn't even get along with your neighbor. You couldn't get along with yourself. So you know you couldn't get along with God. So God gives you a new spirit, and many times under enthusiasm, and if you watch the light that it bears, I hope I'm not hurting. I hope I'm uncovering, see? A lot of times you think that you have the Holy Spirit. Oh, you said, you saw him and I spoke in tongues, certainly. Being that close to it, and you might do all those things, but that isn't the Holy Spirit yet, see? The Holy Spirit bears record of Jesus Christ now. He taken him. What did he do? He gives you a new heart, gives you a new spirit, and then he puts his spirit in you. It's just like you don't have to go around and pretend that you're a Christian man. The new spirit brings new life. The Holy Spirit in your new spirit, in your new heart. In your new heart, your new spirit and your Holy Spirit goes right in the center of your new spirit, and your new spirit goes right in the center of your new heart. And from impersonation of Christianity, he said, now when you do that, and don't bear the fruit of the Spirit. Now you're in the new spirit. You didn't used to do that. That's right. But God had to give you a new spirit. Why? The spirit you had, you couldn't get along with yourself. So how are you going to get along with God? So God had to give you a new spirit, not a patched up one, a new heart. That's your intellect. That's what you think with, a new way of thinking. So look, that's getting to the doctrine. But that doesn't mean you got the Holy Ghost yet. He said that new heart is your intellect. That's what you think with, a new way of thinking. Then he gives you a new way of thinking. Yes, that's right. Notice the new heart is a new mindset, a new way of thinking. Then he said, after that, I'll give you a new spirit. What's that? A new desire. I want to do right. How many people got the new mindset, but they don't even come to the new spirit yet? They don't want to do right. They want to do what they want to do. Oh, I'm a Christian. I'll smoke one more and then I'll throw it away. See? And I'll just stay home tonight and I'll just... all these little things just. That's exactly. Eve stopped for just a moment. That's all she had to do. But now that's the new spirit. Then notice the order of the spirit. The order of the scripture. After you get a new heart and a new spirit, then I'll put my spirit in you. Oh, what? That's what the scripture says here. See? That's the order. That's the pneumatics or the numerical order of the scripture. A new heart, a new spirit, and then my spirit. Then God's Holy Spirit. God's new heart that he put in you sits right in the center of you. That's your impulse, where your emotion goes out. And the new spirit sits right in the center of your new heart. And God's spirit, the Holy Spirit, sits right in the center of your new spirit, and there it controls your emotions. But to accept it and to have a new heart, a new spirit, and his spirit, part of the Logos in you, controlling your emotions, and when he coos, through his word, you coo back and answer to him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. From impersonation of Christianity, and I've seen a lot of that in my time, a lot of people impersonating Christianity. He says, yes, watch the order of the scriptures. I'll take away the old stony heart, and I'll give you a new heart. That's the first order. Some of them stop on that first order, and now you're just getting started. Then he said, I'll give you a new spirit. There's where a lot of Pentecostals fail to have a new spirit. Oh, you felt good, and you felt like that, and oh, well, I feel like I couldn't have it. And well, you just got started. You're just getting fixed up now. You're just coming to the line. He had to give you a new spirit. Why? You couldn't even get along with yourself, with your old spirit. So how could you get along with God's spirit? See? So he had to give you a new spirit. Now, that's a lot of quotes on that subject. But listen, let me tell you something. A lot of people are in that condition today. They've got the new heart. They've got a mind for the doctrine. They can quote it back and forth. They know it. Frontwards, backwards, I've been in churches, Baptist churches, where they can quote you the scripture back and forth. Little kids get up at 5, 6 years old and they quote a scripture right for the audience, for the congregation. They know it back and forth. Well, and they go out and fornicate and everything else. But not the little kids, because they probably can't, but you know what I'm talking about. They grow up to be big kids. Well, Matthew 13:15 says, for this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed us at any time. They should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should hear. We're talking about the doctrine is no good, ain't going to do you one good if it's here. if it's not here, if you don't understand it from here. Because if Christ is the doctrine, and you've got it in here, you've got Christ in here. As Brother Brown said, I know the author pretty well. Amen. So we're dealing with the heart as a receptacle of the soul. Then the heart in this condition is very important because of the influence it plays on the condition of your soul. You raise up a child in the way they'll go, and when they get old, they'll not depart. Therefore, if you raise up a child in the condition or atmosphere of unbelief, it will be very strong influence upon that child and what they believe concerning the Word of God. A child raised up in a very irreverent home will have a much harder time coming to grips with his need for salvation than the one who's raised up in a home where there's love and respect for God. And the fivefold ministry cannot give you a revelation, but they can prepare your mind to receive a revelation from God. But let me tell you something. That's where it stops. And that's where you're dependent on the Holy Spirit to drop it from here to here. I can't give you a revelation. I can help you understand here. But you've got to go to your knees and get it from here down to here. And the only one who can do that for you is God. Your parents can prepare your minds as a child to receive the Word of God as well. They can do that. And that's your duty as a steward in your household, to prepare your children's minds. But again, God dealeth with the heart. In Deuteronomy 6 and verse 4, it says, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you this day are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. And how do you do that? God says, talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands, and bind them on your foreheads. You look at a successful family being raised up in this message, and they talk the word to one another. They pray with one another. That's right. But we have too many distractions today. Every kid has a television in his room. Every kid has his own agenda, has his own things going. They don't have the family prayer. They don't have the altar anymore. It's an indictment. How can we expect as a family to be a bride family if we're not acting like bride ourselves? And where I see the young people having problems in leading church and things and having problems is when there's a lot of their parents are fussing and fighting. And they're fighting not only with each other, but they're fighting in the church. And the people say, why would I want to go to a church where it's all condemnation, where it's all fussing, where it's all fighting? Listen, Brother Brown said, I would rather have a church so in love with each other and with God than all the gifts. And all the gifts, listen, is teaching as a gift. Though I have all wisdom and all knowledge, but have not love. I'm sounding brass and tinkling with cymbals. It means nothing to God. And brother, sister, you don't love with your mind. You love from your heart. And God is love. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all your strength, and these commandments I give you this day should be upon your heart first, then impress them. After they're on your heart, then impress them on your children. The NIV says, then wet them like a sword and pierce the soul of your child. Talk about them when you sit at home. Talk about them when you walk along the road. Talk about them when you lie down. How many of you put Brother Ram's tapes on at night? Create an atmosphere in your home so that you're living in expectation of the glory of God. When you get up in the morning, you're filled with just the wonderful presence of God. You go to bed under that presence of God. Listen, that's God's voice to us in this generation. But no, we'd rather listen to the strange and the mysterious. From blasphemous gains, brother, as I come into your mental faith, right here comes the Holy Spirit coming down into your mental faith, making it a spiritual faith. Then the spiritual faith only recognizes the Word. You see, it takes God to bring it from here down to here. And so we're looking at this condition of the mind. We can see that God has come down in this hour to bring about a change of our mind, that we might receive His mind. That this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. And you know what the NIV puts it? That the attitude that was in Christ be in you. I like that. Because if you have the right attitude, it's speaking, you know, your attitude comes from your heart, it doesn't come from your mind. Your attitude shows, and it comes from the heart. Let the attitude that was in Christ be in you. Then you'll have the word. Then you'll have the mind. We also know in Colossians 3 and 4, we're told that when Christ, who is our life, when he shall appear, then we shall appear with him in the same glory or the same mindset. So that if it is a condition of the mind, then it must first come to our mind before it can move down into our heart and soul and take up and take over the very ambitions and desires of our heart. That's why the scripture tells us where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In Luke 6 and 45, a man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. And so here we find the scripture telling us that our hearts will only reflect the real treasure that lays inside of it. And it will show what our treasures really are in the things that we talk about. From is your life worthy of the gospel, Brother Brennan? So the things that you think on, the things that you do, the actions, the things that you talk about, it creates an atmosphere. What your mind is feeding upon is only a reflection of what your soul condition is. God's elect will hold his word as their treasure, and it will reflect in their thoughts and in their actions. From enticing spirits, Brother Brown said, you let me see what a man reads. Let me see what he watches. Listen to the music that he listens at, and I can tell what spiritual condition that he's in. He said, because that's what your appetite is. And from what is the Holy Ghost, Brother Ram said, you can let me talk to a man for 2 minutes, and I can tell you whether he's received the Holy Ghost or not, and so can you. That's from the Vindicated Prophet. You should be able to talk to a man in 2 minutes and tell whether he has the Holy Spirit. It separates them. It's a mark. It's a sign. And the Holy Spirit is a sign. And it's any child that refused circumcision in the Old Testament, which was a shadow of the Holy Ghost, was cut off from amongst the people. You could not have fellowship with the rest of the congregation if you refused to be circumcised. Now, pattern that to today. A person that would refuse to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost can have no fellowship among those that have the Holy Ghost. You just can't do it. You have to be a nature. Like, and my mother used to say, birds of a feather flock together. Well, it's an old proverb, but it's true. You see, doves and crows fellowshipping? No. Their diets are different. Their habits are different. Their desires are different. And that's the way it is with the world and with a Christian when you have been circumcised by the Holy Spirit, which means to cut off the flesh. And so we see that there is a certain diet that we partake with. A crow can eat just anything. Nothing hardly will bother him, but a dove can only eat certain kinds of food. That's his nature. To eat like a crow would kill it. And I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart, I heard a tape the other night of a certain preacher in this message, and all he did was holler and scream and yet nothing being said, and I couldn't even stand it. And now that same preacher is preaching, they're saying we don't need Billy Branham. Well, he was a faith healer, but he's not even a vindicated prophet. And his visions and the things that he said, well, they don't even come to pass. Because you know why? Because I tried to find a picture or an article that Brother Bell talked about in 1933 and you see UPI up there in Canada, and I couldn't find it on Google. So it's not there. It never existed. And I said, well, brother, I'm sorry, but you know, you're saying that's just hearsay. Because Brother Bell said it. I said, well, then the book of Luke, you might as well throw it out because it's all hearsay, because Luke wasn't an apostle. Luke was a physician that traveled with Paul, and he talked to the apostles, and he got all the facts down, and he wrote down the things that were said. But you know, that's hearsay evidence. It wouldn't be held up in court, would it? Or in the court of God, it does. Hallelujah. And from the message thirst, Brother Anson, there's a control tower in your soul that tells you the spiritual things that you have need of, something in your spirit. And you can and you by this can tell what kind of a life is controlling you. When you can see what your desires are, then you can tell by that what kind of something that's in you, that's creating that desire that you have. See, there's a certain thing that you thirst for, and it can tell you in your soul what this desire is by the nature of the thirst that you have, and I hope that you can understand that. So what we're looking at here, brothers and sisters, is the fact that God has made us to receive his word with our minds first, and then he will anoint that understanding, and he has given us that understanding. He anoints it, he drops it into our soul, and then it comes alive. Then it becomes a spiritual revelation. So we're dealing with the mind here first, and that's why Brother Graham is pointing to the deteriorating condition of the minds of the people. Now this brings up the question. Now, as I said, the soul is a part of man that identifies the man. It is the very life, it is the very nature of the Spirit. When we read in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless under the coming of or parousia of our Lord Jesus Christ." We see that the word for soul here is the Greek word psuche, which is also translated as the word life. When Jesus said, "He that will lose his life for my sake shall save it," he was using the word psuche, which also is used as the same word for soul, as we see in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, and so many other scriptures. So how many men have tried to place the soul as being inferior to the spirit of men, such as Dr. Larkin before Brother Brown came along? He even taught that there is a difference between the soul and spirit, but they could not place it correctly within the body itself. They taught that the outer is the body, which is correct, but then they taught that the next to the body lay the soul, and then inside of the soul was the spirit. But Brother Brown taught us, after the seals were opened, that the first ring was the body, the second the spirit, and then the soul. This means that the spirit was in between the soul and the body, in between or in the middle or in the midst. Now the question was asked, where is the mind? And was answered according to the scripture and what Brother Brown told us, the mind is in the spirit. Yet our soul still has the last say on our choices. But the affection and reasoning and emotion and memory and conscience all exist in the realm of the spirit. But the soul is a nature of that spirit. And the next part of this question is, where and what is the soul? And I think I answer this part by saying that the soul is, it is the very nature of your spirit, the very nature of your being. Now you ask, where is it? It lies within the deepest recesses of your heart. Number five, and that brings us to number five from the parable. When we are born of God, we cannot any longer sin, because it's God's seed that remains in us. Then that which comes from the heart is only good and will reflect the fruits of the Spirit. John said, "But if you say you have no sin, you only deceive yourself." So Paul said, with the heart, with the mind, I worship God, I serve God, but with this body, I'm a servant of sin. Then who can deliver me from this body? Your preacher can't do it. Your wife can't do it. There's one alone, and that is God. And God's not going to do it by talking to your head. When Elijah heard the thunder, he said, "No, that's not God." When he heard the earthquake, "No, that's not God." Felt it. But when that still small voice that speaks in you, he said, "Yeah, that's God." And God promised you that if you be any otherwise minded, he would reveal it to you. Where? Here? No. Here. We don't listen enough to the Holy Spirit in here. I'm going to tell you something. When I, in 1976, I was on my way to the Minnesota Life and Training Camp, and I met Brother Vail, and something spoke in here. He said, "Get out of that man's ministry one day." He said, "Just get out of that man's ministry." Well, something spoke to Brother Vail in there. He said, "One day that young man will mean something special to you." The same one that spoke in there in 1982-83, when I was working for NCR Corporation, I got myself a little, because I was putting all my sermons in. I was putting in something that spoke to me. He said, "Write down your sermons word for word, because one day they're going to be read around the world." That's 1982, before the internet. I was writing them in a tablet, and when the personal computers first came out, they only had a floppy disk, didn't even have a hard drive. I started typing them on the 5 1/4-inch floppy drives. Today, those sermons are read in 10 languages around the world. I didn't ask people to translate for me. They started translating. That was fulfilling what something spoke to me 30 years ago. I said, "Write down those sermons. One day they're going to be read around the world." And you know what my thought was at the time? My thought was, but Brother Branham said, "Why write a history? There won't even be people around to read it." And I didn't think that we'd have another 30 years. How many of you 30 years ago thought you'd see another 30 years? No. But I was not disobedient to what I had speaking here. You got somebody in speaking to you in here. You know what you've got to do. You know where you've got to repent. You know what you've got to make right. Clean it up. You don't want to lay on your deathbed if you do. You know, you don't want to be in a car accident and for the rest of it, you can die going home today. It's getting late, brother, sister. I doubt in my soul that we will see another spring after this coming. I believe it's that close to the coming of the Lord. Brother Brown looked for it every day. So do I. Could it be? I don't know. But let me just tell you one thing. You don't want to get to the point where you lay in your bed with remorse and guilt and with depression because of the way you treat your people. Treat everyone with respect. Treat everyone with love. You say, it's too much work. No, it's not. You find if you enter into that joy, it actually becomes a joy. It's like the woman that came to Brother Brown. She said, I don't love my husband. He said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, I used to love him. We got married, I love him. I married because I love him. She said, we've grown away. We've grown apart. Brother Brown said, well, do you want to love him? I want to love him, but I just don't think you can. And he said, would you do what I tell you to do? She said, sure. He said, okay. He said, I want you to go home and start acting like you love your husband. Do the things that you did when you loved your husband. Dress the way your husband would like you to dress. Feed him the kinds of food that your husband likes. Treat him like you love him. And then come back in 6 weeks and tell me what happened. And she came back in 6 weeks and said, you know what? I love my husband. He said, well, tell me about it. She said, well, okay. I did what you said, Brother Bram. I started doing those things for him. And I started acting these things. And you know what? He started responding to me. Now, how do you expect people to respond to you when you say, well, I've got the doctrine we don't have? I'm going in the rapture because I follow Brother Bale. You're not going to the rapture because you don't follow Brother Bale. Now, come on. How do you expect people to respond to that? They don't. They turn you away and they say, I don't need that kind of hypocrisy. Because that's all it is. When people say, well, if I had to choose between Brother Bale and Brother Branham in the Bible, I choose Brother Bale. I'm sorry, my friend, but you need to be born again. Because Brother Vail's absolute was the Bible. Brother Branham's absolute was the Bible. You've got to get to the point, brother and sister, where we're not up here big and puffy. God is dealing with your heart. He wants your heart. He wants to commune with you. As David said, I commune with God as I lay upon my bed. God wants to commune with your heart. He wants fellowship from your heart. How much fellowship is it when you give the person your brain but you don't give them your heart? Husbands and wives, it's about time you start letting it come from here for each other instead of from here. As Paul said in Romans 8, he that lives after the flesh cannot please God. He that lives after self cannot please God. How do you expect a wife to please her husband when she lives for the wife? How do you expect a husband to please his wife when he lives for himself? It's time to live as a family. It's time to live for one another. Eternal life is living for others. I could go on and on. I've got many more scriptures here, but it's getting late, brothers and sisters. Brother Bram said, I would much rather have a church that was so in love with each other and didn't. Look, brother, I'd rather have a church that's so much in love with each other, so much in love with God that all they want to do is please their Father. I don't care if he didn't know diddly squat. I'm serious about that. I've had my fill of people that can talk doctrine and stab me in the back. Or want to roughshod and run over you. I'd rather have brothers and sisters who are just almost mental retarded because they're happy at least. You ever notice that? You see people with the waterheads, the little boys, they're happy all the time. happy. Nothing bothers him. Sometimes you'd be better off. Your brother Branham, I heard him on the tape the other day, and he said, you ever notice how old people and young people alike just fall in love with little babies because they're so innocent? He said, that's the way God looks at us, like we're little babies. How about if we start looking at each other that way? We're children of God. We are children. Some are here, just born. Some are here, getting ready for a body change. But you know, we're all in the same family. You know, when you get old enough to start helping Dad around, you don't say, well, he's not helping Dad around. Of course he's not. He's half your age. But it's time for you to help Dad. Understand what I'm talking about? I'm talking spiritually. God has a big family to take care of. He wants us to be the Messiah of all comfort, because he's a God of all comfort. He's a King of peace. He wants us to be the Prince of peace, or the Princess of peace. Jesus said, he that giveth mercy shall receive mercy. He's a God of grace. He's brother, sister, he's a great provider. And when you see a brother or sister in need, you're there to help out. All of these attributes that we see in God are to be in us. Because what was in the ocean is still in the cup. And you say, well, okay, brother, I might have had a cup. Jesus has the ocean. But he said the same elements that were in the ocean are in the cup. You and I might just have a teaspoon. In fact, he said he had a teaspoon on the face of your mind. Might just have just a little thimbleful. It doesn't matter. It just takes one sperm to create a body. All you have to have is, it starts by one word. You see? And God bless you. As far as in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word. We're thankful, Father, for your spirit. We're thankful, Father, that you're getting your children ready to go home. Fill us, Father, with joy and peace and long suffering. Fill us with the fruits of your spirit. Help us, Lord, to not let the doctrine go in vain, but help us to realize the doctrine is Christ. He's the one you're leading us to. He's our example. He's our pattern. So, Father, help us, Lord, to enter into the joys of our salvation. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord make his face shine upon thee.